Hi, I'm Scott Barlow, and I'm from UNC Charlotte. I'm a PhD student there. And today I'd like to talk to you about multivariate visual explanation for high-dimensional data sets. So typically when we attempt to describe really complex situations and scenarios, we often try to do that in terms of multivariate relationships between variables. Example applications include economic analysis, protein engineering, and the list can go on and on. What would be nice, though, if we could actually take those relationships and define those variables and actually use that to construct good models. Traditional methods for doing this include statistical methods, includes regression analysis, response surface analysis, and generalized additive models. Some general challenges that often accompany these traditional methods, they can be very hard to scale to large, high-dimensional data sets. And they can also be difficult not only to actually go ahead and implement, but to understand the results. So in a lot of cases, you don't have a good return on your investment for your construction of your algorithms. The question is, will multidimensional visualization techniques help? And the answer is maybe or maybe not. We can see here we have a couple or several of the most commonly used visualization techniques for multivariate analysis. We have pixel-oriented, parallel coordinate, scatter plot matrices. And at the bottom of the screen, you can see that there is a very simple function there, a very simple relationship consisting of only three independent variables and one dependent variable. And you can see that even if you could get very close with the scatter plot matrix, that even with the other ones, it can be very difficult to discern those relationships. Now, the problem is this is a very simple relationship, and as you add more variables, such as an economic analysis, protein engineering, so forth, this just becomes more and more and more complex. So our approach is something we call multivariate visual explanation. And really, our goals are to allow the user to visually reveal multivariate correlations. We want to do that through dimension reduction. And of course, our ultimate goal is to lay a framework for model construction. Our approach is to use both automatic analysis and visualization techniques. And in so doing, we hope to alleviate some of the problems that are associated with both of those techniques. So for our overview, we really kind of separated into two different parts, our automatic analysis. We chose partial derivatives. Partial derivatives, one reason we use that is because if you keep all the other variables constant, you can establish a good relationship between an independent variable and the dependent variable. There are many numerical calculations used. And not only that, but because of this very simple relationship, it can be very intuitive, and you can find applications in all types of physical sciences, economics, and so forth. So what we're trying to do is actually take something that's already in a lot of the domains and make it simple and available for use. For the visualization part, we wanted to establish really a step-by-step process in which we could inspect the partial derivatives for things like quality, incorporate that information into step-by-step visual analysis, and allow the user to interactively construct models. Finally, we wanted to put all those steps together so that we could coordinate those views and so that the user could gain information from all those views and displays. This first view is the one of the tools that we have for the partial derivative inspection. You can see the original independent variable as well as the dependent variables are listed alongside with the partial derivatives of each of the independent variables. The higher the bar is actually the error associated. We use the sum of squared errors in this case. And the higher the bar branching off from each of the parallel coordinate axes is actually the amount of error associated with that. So from that, you can make a decision about which derivatives you may want to include in your analysis. Now, we also wanted to incorporate this into a step-by-step approach. Our big motivation is, and actually this came, not only from previous work, but from an initial attempt that we tried, is that when we put the partial derivatives together, along with all the original dimensions, they seem to clutter the screen, and actually the user got quite overwhelmed with all the information there. So we set up some guiding principles to kind of guide our development. And first of all, we wanted to be able to examine all types of relationships step by step. And in that, we wanted to be able to take something, take a relationship, and break it down into step by step so that we could better understand the data. Also, we wanted to exclude variables that we already knew the relationship or that we didn't care what the relationship was from further analysis, therefore removing some of the variables that need to be considered. And of course, to go back to the coordinated views, one or more views for each step. Here's an example. This is the same relationship that we showed before with the that was very difficult to discern. On the left side of the screen, we have a histogram of the partial derivatives along with the independent and dependent variables. And I'll explain a little bit later in a later slide about what the exact layout is. But if we look closely, we can see that there is a partial derivative for x2. And because we're dealing with partial derivatives, we can find that this exhibits a long slender bar, and therefore we can classify that relationship as a constant relationship. And we can go ahead and, we can actually send that to a category that shows that it exhibits linear behavior. Now, once we actually select this and we've determined this relationship, we can go to the next view, which is our scatterplot view, and we can see that x2 is excluded from that analysis and therefore reduces what we need to consider. Now, from this view, we can see that the partial derivatives of x1 and x0 seem to be a linear, you can multiply it times a linear factor to get the relationship with x0 and x1. And so we can go ahead and classify that into that relationship. At the end there, we can put both sides, both the histogram view analysis and the scatterplot analysis into one function, which we can use for model building. Okay, this is the first order partial derivative histogram. On the right-hand side, we can see that there is actually a, these are the independent variables. On the on the left-hand side are the independent variables. On the right-hand side is the dependent variable. And in between those, we kind of took that for the design from the scatterplot matrix. In between those are the actual derivatives. Now, from this, we can see several relationships just besides the constant relationships that we saw earlier. For example, down here, this is the Boston housing price data set. And you can see that the distribution, this is the number of rooms per house, and we would expect that to have a positive effect on house price. And we can see because it's on the right-hand side of the zero line there, and actually very far to the right-hand side, that it's actually does agree with our intuitive thinking about that. We can also see that as this is the crime rate, and as that is on the left-hand side of the zero line, so we can expect that to have a negative impact on the housing price. Now, there are also maybe some variables that we can ignore if we already know the relationship, or if we're sure their significance or insignificance, we can select those and exclude those from further analysis. This is just to show that you can actually pick up more than just linear. On the right hand on the left hand is the example that we saw with the linear relationship. On the right hand side is actually a more complex function dealing with the cosine and sine functions. Also, we can put together more steps. We can have scatter plots between the second order partial derivatives and the independent variable, as well as the scatter plots between the second order partial derivatives and the first order partial derivatives. So what we're trying to do is actually match a lot of information together so that we can have a complete picture of what we're doing or what we're dealing with. Now, for model construction, we mentioned before in previous slides that we can classify certain relationships according to their linearity or constant and so forth. What we've done is develop an interface so that we can record our findings during exploration. We can, if you look at the interface there, we can send them to various lists, including a linear list or an ignorable list, and that is carried through in a summary box, which will accompany each subsequent view. Now, we also created a create model button so that when you are ready, you can go ahead and create the model that you desire. Okay, one of the central features of this is the coordinated views. The MVE views are coordinated with other views such as the parallel coordinates, the scatter plot matrices, and so on. We incorporated coordinated brushing so that we could examine the subsets of data items of interest. And we also allowed the coordination dimension reduction, including the removal of dimensions that we can ignore, that we've decided do not have effect on whatever we're trying to discover. And we also can remove dimensions with known relationships. This is an example. I go back to the error situation or error idea that we were talking about earlier. This is a different view of the parallel coordinates error. We've actually plotted the error on some of the axes in the parallel coordinates view. We've used brushing to select the various data items, and that is propagated to the next view of the histograms. So we can map the brushed or selected items to the red, which occur in both views, and the unselected, which actually occur in black, in the next views. So we can therefore map certain qualities such as error from the parallel coordinates view to the histogram view. What we wanted to do for a user study is actually determine or investigate if in fact the histogram view, the partial derivatives, were useful, in fact more useful than the scatterplot matrices without the derivatives. We used the Boston Neighborhood Housing Price Dataset, and one note about this is that screen captures were used. We're interested mainly just in the premise if users will be able to find the partial derivatives more useful than the scatterplot matrices of the raw variables. The tasks were to classify, the users were asked to classify the correlation of each independent variable to the dependent variable into several categories. These categories included positive, negative, and then either ignorable or uncertain, sort of a gray area category. Furthermore, we asked them to rate the confidence of a decision on a scale from 0 low to 5 high. Okay, these are just some of the screenshots that the users received and they were asked to analyze. You can see the scatter plot matrix on the left and the partial derivative histogram, which we've already seen on the right. So what we tried to analyze was actually both the correct answer rate and the mean confidence rate. And we'll see the connection between those in just a second. But the actual correct answer rate was about 99% for the partial derivative histograms versus about 66% for the scatterplot matrix. So people were able to classify relationships according to positive and negative impacts with the partial derivative histograms a lot more easily than the scatterplot matrices for a high-dimensional data set. To see why, if you look at variable X9, you can see there's a large difference between what is actually the correct answer rate for the partial derivative histograms and the rate for the scatterplot matrix. There's a big difference there. And if you actually see what the users were given, on the right-hand side is the pupil-to-teacher ratio, which we would expect to have a negative impact on housing prices, and that just says that the more students you have in a classroom, the more crowded the classroom has. It just associates better housing with better students. That is clearly a negative relationship, or it has a negative impact on the pricing, and you can see on the scatterplot matrix that actually it'd be very difficult to discern that. So in fact, we think that the, and the users also thought that the relationships were better able to be determined from the partial derivative histograms. Now, if we look at the second chart there, the mean confidence chart, we can see that actually the, if we especially look at X9, the confidence was actually a lot closer to the partial derivative histograms as opposed to the scatter plot matrix. And actually, we believe this represents a disconnect and a big problem in visualization today, in that a lot of times people make decisions based on something that they believe they've discerned visually, and they have a high confidence at in that decision, but it in fact turns to be incorrect, turns out to be incorrect. And I think that's something that definitely needs to be addressed. So in conclusion, we built a multivariate visual explanation system to support correlation determine, and we wanted to integrate the user into that process. We wanted to include the partial derivative calculation, inspection, and visualization integration. And precisely, we wanted to break down a large data set into a step-by-step process so that they could determine correlations and filter out things as they proceeded through that process. We also perform case and user studies to demonstrate its effectiveness. For future work, we wanted to incorporate some more guided correlation detection methods. We wanted to actually integrate some of the analysis techniques that I mentioned earlier that may be more difficult to understand. Maybe we could actually incorporate those, and if we integrate them into this pipeline, maybe they'll become more useful. We also wanted to increase the scalability, do more evaluations, especially when it came to interactions, and we wanted to expand it past the housing price data set into other applications such as bioinformatics. Okay. Thank you.
Questions?
Sure. So you're asking about the calculation of the partial derivative. What we did, we separated the points into a neighborhood. We actually set a threshold according to whatever, and that can be user defined, whatever the user or whatever the user would like. And through those points, we drew a regression line and drew the partial derivative that way. Well, that's where the error inspection would come in. And so, yeah, it's the larger the threshold would obviously lead to larger error. But, yeah. That's something that actually would be a good future work section, because you're exactly right. In the Boston housing price, we set up exactly the housing or the price as the dependent variable. And in some cases, especially things in like bioinformatics or maybe even economics, you don't understand, you don't know which ones are independent or dependent. You don't know what the relationship is. And that's actually something we'd like to really look into.
Hi, Daniel Fisher, Microsoft Research.
Hi.
I'm really intrigued by this, and it's a really interesting technique. I don't think I've seen anything quite like it before. But I'm trying to get my head around the interpretation of the partial derivative.
Mm-hmm.
In particular, it feels to me a lot like a correlation coefficient plus a range on the correlation. And the sort of conclusions that you were showing us, yes, that people were reading off of the distributions felt a lot like they're correlated or they're not correlated.
Mm-hmm.
Can you reflect on the different conclusions you can draw from your method as opposed to, say, a correlation coefficient plus an error term?
That's something that we'd probably have to do in future work also, because we really didn't compare it, and that's something that we could probably include into a user study. Instead of having just a scatter plot matrix or something like that, we could actually include maybe some other visualizations of other analysis methods.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Others?
Sure.
So follow up to the Purdue paper in the previous session that suggested that users couldn't read line graphs. Mm-hmm. Are you suggesting that users can't read scatter plots either?
Well, they can. The problem is when... Well, in some cases, yes, that's true. The problem that we set forth is that scatterplot matrices work very well for small data sets, but as you start adding independent variables to them, you know, it just explodes and becomes very hard to distinguish between those.
Hi, Jen Huang, University of Tennessee. Could you comment on the effects of noise on computing derivatives? And does noise make visualization absolutely necessary, or does noise make it hard for visualization, or whatever?
Well, that's where the user could actually go back and look at the error, you know, parallel coordinates view, and see, you know, that's where the user actually has to make a judgment as far as which derivatives they want to use and which ones to include for model building and things like that.
The results that you showed, clearly there are linear relationships.
Yeah.
Do you have results where you have just instilled noise in there so that you have a comparison?
No, actually, this was just a very preliminary work, and of course we'd like to work with some synthetic data sets where we actually maybe inject some noise into that. But this was just the Boston Price Housing data set.
All right.
Thank you.
Other questions? I should point out that actually the previous questioner is correct. There. It is related to the so-called partial correlation coefficient, which Pearson worked with and statisticians have used for about a century. You might want to take a look, too, at partial residual plots, which are used frequently for regression diagnostics in fitting models. This is very closely related to a number of techniques that statisticians use. They approach it somewhat differently, but it's very similar in spirit.